it's great to be here. It's nice to see so many people came from Rochester and stuff to see me. I know that's not why you came, but, you know, just let me think that for a little bit. And, but it's nice, and I would say to you that if you came here from Rochester, there's a camp closer. Or if you're here, there's closer one than Lailolai. I know a lot of these people from Lailolai, and Iroquoian is closer. Okay, so you can feel free to come there if you'd like. It's a nice camp, and I know a good many of you have been there. Sometimes Zach Strom lives there, but feel free to come. And I would like to make just a quick announcement. I should have given it to you earlier. I brought some brochures with me for the ladies' retreat. I hope it doesn't interfere with anything you have going here, but it's May 2nd through the 4th. And the speaker is Ramona Marquez. And also they're doing a theme that I don't think any female person, well, maybe there's a couple, but not very many can resist. The theme is Here Comes the Bride. And they're going to have a wedding feast one night and everything. So please come, sign up. Like I said, I brought some of these with me, and I'll leave a bunch behind. So I'd like to see you there. And I'm sure my wife would like to see you there. And if you would like to meet her, she hasn't come either time I've come here, but if you'd like to meet her, just come there. I'm positive she's going to be there because she's helping to direct it. I'd like to look this morning at faith. In fact, my topic just changed within the last day or so. I can't get this out of my head. We've been studying Hebrews on Wednesday nights, and we're in Hebrews 11 of all chapters. Can you imagine where would I think about faith in that chapter? But we were in Hebrews 11, and some of the things there, I just can't get rid of this faith thing. So you're going to have to suffer with me as we go through it a little bit and just look at some of the things. I think faith is something we think we have, and as the Lord shows us how little faith we have, we get all excited. I mean, I can remember a year or two ago we had Jabe Nicholson come and speak at our chapel, and some of you came down for that. And it was such an exciting time. I mean, he was telling us what the Lord was doing all over the place. And it was like, wow, this is so, you got so excited and pumped up. You know, and that lasts for, what, 3 or 4 days or so, you know, until you get back into the grind of everything. And it kind of stays there, but it gradually dissipates. And I'd like us to think about faith because we need to be at that level more often than we are. We need to have that, oh, wow, this Lord is doing that. I have spoken a couple times on the priesthood of believers. And one of the things that stood out to me there was we're a royal priesthood. And it gives us the reasoning or the what the job of a royal priest is, different from the holy priesthood. Their job is to proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we don't do that very often, I don't think. We don't go out and we're not praising him. We're not telling the whole world what a great Savior we have. What are the fabulous things he did. In our meeting earlier, our brother was sharing how he was with people who he said we wouldn't want to trade places with, the homeless and stuff that were now, the Lord had saved them, and they were in positions where they were helping other people. And it was so exciting and uplifting, and it gives us strength. Those are the kinds of things we need to be telling the world around us and telling each other, because we forget. The older I get, the more I appreciate that we forget. You know, my short-term memory gets shorter and shorter, and my long-term memory, I'm not sure where it is, but you know, if I don't write it down now, I'll forget. Well, we need to be telling each other, because it's harder to forget when that's one of the first things you do is tell each other about the great things the Lord's doing. And so I'd like us to think about that this morning. I'd like us to think about a couple Bible stories first. You don't need to turn there. They're both out of the book of Matthew. And you'll know them when I start. But the first one I'd like to is you're going to imagine you're in a boat. It's a fishing boat. It's crowded with 13 of us in the boat. There's a few guys here in the boat that know how to sail. They know how to swim. They're fishermen. Peter, James, John, and Andrew. You know, they know how to do this thing. There's a few of us in the boat. I kind of picture myself as Thomas, and because he has all kinds of problems. And anyway, I picture myself as Thomas. I don't swim. I don't like being in a boat. And if I get out of sight of land, I get seasick. You know, I somehow fool myself into thinking that if I'm within sight of land and I fall out of the boat, that's not a problem. I can walk to land. Now, that comes from a Camp Lailolai story a long, long time ago, and we won't go into that. But, you know, somehow, and that's true for me. If I get out of sight of land, forget it. I'm going to feed the fish for a while. And I lay back in there. But there's somebody in the boat. Jesus is in the back of the boat, and he's sleeping. And there's this storm going on. The boat is rocking. It's like terrible for us guys that don't swim. And I'm really nervous now, and my stomach is just churning. And what am I going to do? And, you know, I've come to the conclusion that panic is contagious. And the more I talk about how scared I am, the more everybody gets scared. Peter, James, and John are starting to teeter on the edge of panic, too. And finally, we all say to Jesus, we say, Lord, save us! Don't you care that we're perishing? So he gets up and stretches. And he says to the wind and the sea, stop! And they stop. Now all of a sudden I feel really foolish. What on earth is going on? And Jesus says, oh, you have a little faith. And I'm thinking at first, what does faith have to do with it? You know, I don't swim. There's no life jackets in this boat. But he says, oh, you have little faith. Well, if we're going to go by the story, and I really feel myself in there, I don't have much faith. I'm not sure what I was supposed to have faith in. You know, I've been with this guy, but I've never seen anybody stop. I didn't know he could do that. If I would have known that Jesus could just stop the wind and the waves with a word, I would have felt a lot more secure in here. I'd have been sitting right beside Jesus. You know? Jesus, I know I'm okay as long as because he can stop anything. But he says, oh, you have little faith. A little while later, I don't think it's real long. It might be a month. It might be a few weeks. It could be only be a few days. The disciples are again in a boat, and it's getting dark outside. It's in the middle of the night now. There's another storm comes on this. They call it a sea a lot of times in the Bible, but it's just a big lake. Okay? But it's big enough that the waves get going. And I know from living on Lake Erie that the little lakes are the problem. Big oceans and stuff, there's enough distance between waves that a boat can recover. But when you get on these little ones, the waves are so close together that they stop making the boat do all kinds of weird things. And it's harder to steer and it's harder to... And again, I'm in the boat and I don't swim. This one, Jesus is in here. I'm scared. I mean, I'm scared. And you read the story, and it's so cool because Jesus is on the land and he sees them out in the middle. I don't know how far that is. It's got to be a few miles. He sees them, it says, toiling, trying to keep the boat going in the right direction. And he starts to walk to them on the water. I mean, if that's not enough to just, wow, what a story. Wish I could do that. I have to walk underwater. You know, we walk under a few steps. You go up and you get some air and you go back down and you walk a few more steps. That's how I walk on water. Okay? Jesus is walking on top of the water. And pretty soon the disciples see something. Now, I don't know if you've been out in the water in the dark and everything, but everything looks spooky anyway. You know, and you're already scared because you don't swim. And here comes, it looks like somebody's on the water. It's got to be a ghost because people don't walk on water, right? It's got to be some spirit thing. You see him walking. And he keeps disappearing, you know, because then the waves are going high enough. He's in a trench. You see him and you don't see him and you see him. Pretty soon you're sure it's somebody. And he calls out to you. It's me! Don't be afraid! Me? That sounds like Jesus, but people don't walk on water. Peter, he's the brave one. The dumb one. I think Peter's, you know. He says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to get out of the boat and I'll come to you. And Jesus says, come on. So Peter jumps out of the boat and starts walking on the water. Now that doesn't, I mean, can you imagine? It's strange enough seeing what you thought was a ghost, but now Peter's walking on the water. I don't know about you, but that stops me for a while. He's walking on the water. I don't know how far he went, but he went more than a step or two because he was walking on the water. And pretty soon he noticed that the waves and the wind are, I mean, this is not natural. And he started sinking. Now, he's not to Jesus yet. When you read the story, you see that he's not there. It's not like he fell on him and grabbed him around the neck and, oh, thank you, or anything like that. He starts to sink and he says, Lord, save me. And the Lord reaches out his hand. And he pulled him up. Now, how far away was Jesus? I think Jesus was still away. I mean, this was going to be a cool walk on the water, you know? He picked him up and he says, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Now, what was making Peter walk on the water? His faith. He had faith for a little bit there, walking on the water. He had faith that if Jesus can do it, I can do it. And he was. Then he noticed the wind and the waves and all the things going on around him. He said, this isn't normal. I don't think I can do this. But Jesus reaches out his hand. The Lord just wants us to say, Lord, save me. I need your help. And he's got us. And then he walked back to the boat. That's how I know he was walking on the water. I mean, they were walked back to the boat. Now the rest of the disciples are saying, you'd have got that thing in their mind. I wish I would have had enough brave, I would have been enough courage to try that. I mean, that would be cool to tell people, you know, I could tell my grandkids how I walked on water with Jesus. That'd be cool. But the rest of them all stayed in the boat. Peter's the only one with that story. Because he had enough faith. Lord, if it's really you, I saw you stop the wind and the waves before, you can do it. Well, let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 1, or Hebrews 11, I'm sorry, verse 1. We're going to read some verses here. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, though he being dead still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world, and he became an heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place where he would have received to receive an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promises in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he waited for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead, were many born, as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable, and the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland, and truly, if they were called to mind that country from which they had come, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray as we look into it this morning that you'd show us things that would help us day to day, that would get us excited, that would help our faith to grow. And we pray now, Father, that you would open our hearts and minds to what you have to say. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If I were to ask you, what does faith mean? Give me the definition of faith. You would probably start quoting these verses out of Hebrews. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that sounds really nice, but sorry. Don't hit the podium. But it doesn't quite do it, does it? I mean, it sounds good to you, but does that help you? I think if you think about it, yeah, you can intellectually grasp that and say, okay, that's a good definition of faith. But faith is a feeling. Faith is a confidence in somebody, something. If you sit down on a chair, you never think about that it might fall down, unless you've had the experience where you sat on a chair and it did not hold you up, then at least for a while you're much more careful about sitting down. We put our faith in a God who never lets us down. And here in his word, he gives us all these examples in this chapter of people who put their faith in him, and he didn't let them down. And look at the things it says. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. They were confident, it said there in those verses we ended with, that they were waiting for a better country, a heavenly city, whose builder and maker was God. They were confident that was what they were waiting for. Hey, Abraham was going to the promised land. He looked at it, and he said, I'm sure that this is really nice. But the whole time he lived there, he lived in a tent. He was a rich man. He had tons and scads and everything of goods. But the Bible tells us he was looking for something better. Something made by God. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You ever think about that they all lived at the same time? I mean, that's father, son, and grandson. But they lived for a long time. I mean, Abraham lived to be pretty old. I forgot again now already. I looked up earlier so I could tell you. But he lived to be pretty old. You know, he blessed his great-grandchildren. He put his hands on them. He blessed them. They were older. They were at least in their teens at that time in Egypt. He lived a long time. I'm sorry, I said Abraham, didn't I? Because Jacob was just his grandson. But, you know, they lived a long time together. And he had passed on that promise. God promised Abraham that he would make of him a great nation. Numerable as the stars in the heavens. Now, I don't know if you can tell here how many stars are up there in the heavens, you know. If you want to see how many stars are up there in the heavens, come to Iroquoian. There's a lot more stars in the heavens than you believe. All right? We had some kids that came from Upton Lake, New York area. And I remember we went to an observatory near camp. And this girl says, "Wow, you can't see this where I'm from. You can't see this. There are..." I mean, it was at Camp Lalola that I first figured out why they called the Milky Way the Milky Way. I thought it was a cloud. There were so many stars together, it looks like a cloud. You can't appreciate that where we got all this light pollution and stuff. But that's, I can't imagine what it would have been like then when they didn't have street lights and cities and all that stuff. And Abraham was out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, worse than being a camp, you know. And he looked up in the sky. There's stars everywhere. Count them. Count them. So Abraham has one son. He has two, but one son that the promise is going through. That's not a big numeral, you know. That's Isaac. Isaac has two sons, but only one of them that the promise is going to go through. Promise is a long time coming. But they had faith that God was going to do that. And let's look at these men here at the beginning of the chapter, because they show us, I think, the outworking and what he really means here when he says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is an important thing for us now. You go to school, you go past school, you sit at home, you watch TV or something, and what do they always try to tell you? Well, Earth has been evolving for millions and billions of years, you know, and things just happened. You know why it's so important an issue? Because it shows us right here in verse 3. It's by faith that we understand that the worlds were made out of nothing. Wasn't some chemical thing struck by lightning and all of a sudden there was some slimy worm or anything like that. And the chances of that happening are too great. Too great. There's going to be a movie coming out. I'm kind of anxious to see it about how we had to, I forget who the name of the guy now, but the movie coming out, they had been advertising about it. It's called Checked Out or something like that. But it talks about how we've had to check our intelligence at the door when we go to school anymore. Because evolution doesn't make sense. But that's the thing we have to believe. And you know why they want people so badly to believe it? Is because if you believe that the world was made, then there was a maker. It's not an accident. There's somebody that you maybe owe something to. Somebody that has authority. Somebody who designed it all. And you're not an accident. The world doesn't want to hear that. And we do have a designer. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, that He spoke, and it was. That's how we believe that. We have faith that it's true. You couldn't convince me otherwise. By faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. And as we look here, we see that faith, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. He brought a lamb. Cain, his brother, brought fruits and vegetables. He was a farmer. He was proud of these things that he brought. He brought his best. And God accepted Abel's sacrifice and not Cain's. Now, if you're a 5 or 6 year old, like in our Bible study, your question is, how did Cain know that God didn't accept his sacrifice? Because you read the story and you don't know. If you're a Sunday school teacher, you have these wonderful pictures, you know, that come along, and it shows you how, right? It shows you that Cain's smoke kind of stayed on the ground. You know, I don't know what happened exactly, but the smoke didn't rise like normal, but Abel's offering, the smoke went up, right? I mean, that's what they show you in the picture, so that makes it easier for kids to understand, you know, but you sit there and you think, wait a minute, if they did it at the same time, that doesn't exactly make sense. I mean, I suppose that could be how, but the Bible doesn't tell us. But I think it was by the same thing, by faith. Abel knew that his was accepted. He could feel it. I don't know. I can't explain it, but I can tell you when I can tell God's doing things and when he's pleased with me and everything. And it's from my faith, I'm sure. And Abel knew. And Cain, he knew that God didn't like it. I'm sure that Cain knew what he was supposed to bring. Well, you have to kind of read into it a little bit, but if Abel knew what to bring, he could have at least said, Cain could have said, wait a minute. God likes his and not mine. I better get what Abel brought. But no, he wanted to please God on his own terms. But the important thing that I want us to see here is that then God testified of Abel that he was righteous. That he was righteous. And you remember here in verse 2 it said, by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Abel's testimony was shown in his faith. Enoch, he walked with God. And then he wasn't anymore, because God took him. And here it tells us again, before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. By faith, he pleased God. You think he ever screwed up? Oh, yeah. I don't think Enoch was perfect or anything, you know. He's like the rest of us. He screwed up every day. But he had this testimony that he pleased God. He walked with God. He was so close to him. Are you that close? I'd like to be that close. There's some days where I feel like I'm walking with God, and there's other days where I feel like, you know, I moved out of the city or something, or I went to another town, and I'm in a motel, and I have no idea where God went. It's a weird feeling. I don't like it. Now, I will say that life at camp, because there's advantages to having a job that's, you know, missions oriented, because you're faced with that every day. It's not like when I was a machine designer, I could go to work and I could design machines all day and not think about God. It was easy. There was no connection. Now, Camp Fair Point, you're faced with it every day, you know? We spent some money yesterday. There wasn't enough money in the account to make my next paycheck. Anyway. But we spent it. We needed to spend it and everything, and so we spent it. And I talked to the treasurer. He said, go ahead and spend it. He said, but how do you think we're going to make payroll this next month? And I said, we're going to pray. Now, part of me felt guilty because I didn't know if I really believed that, you know? But God does it all. That's one of the coolest things about the job. You can ask Joe because he started usurping my pleasures. I like to go to the mailbox. How many of you like to go to the mailbox? Oh, there's a few of you. I don't like to go to my mailbox. I like to go to camp's mailbox. They get bigger bills, but they also get bigger money, you know? What would you think? One day, unannounced, you opened this envelope that didn't look anything special, and you opened it up and you looked at it, and it was a check for $50,000. What would you do? I almost fell down. I couldn't believe it. And you know what's terrible about that is And the next time I got a check for $1,000, and I thought, oh, that's nice. I'm sure that the Lord wanted to go, you know, right on the back of the head. What do you mean that's nice? But that's what the Lord does. And we need to get into that relationship where we expect to see Him do things all the time. Jill and I had this really cool thing. We need to get concrete. We're pouring pillars because we're fixing the front porch. And this story is just amazing. You know, but you might not ever think of it. And so I'm going to tell you the story so you know what to watch for. We go to Lowe's. Jill and I have had this chop saw, sliding chop saw picked out for a while we wanted, and it was $450. And we thought, you know, that's nice, but we don't have the money right now. So we went there and we looked, and I said, we couldn't get into the concrete aisle. They had it blocked off because some guy was doing something with a high lift, and they didn't want stuff to fall on your head while he was working, you know. So I said, Jill, I want to go over and look at the saws while we're here. So we went over, and here's the saw we wanted. We couldn't find it on the internet or anything. We went over, and it's discontinued. It's on clearance. It's only $404. That's $50 off. Wow. So we asked the girl. I had a girl in the tool department. I guess that's okay nowadays, but it's still weird asking a girl about tools. And she said, we said, do you have any more of these? We'd like to buy it. And she says, I don't know, I'll go check. Well, we knew that there weren't any more because there weren't any more below it. It told you where to look, right below it. Weren't any there. She says, no, nope, that's the only one we have. And Joe says, can we buy it? She said, I guess so, but it doesn't have a blade. Wow, that's a big thing to overcome, you know, getting a brand new saw without a blade. You got to go buy the 10-inch blade that goes on it. You know? She says, well, I could give you. And Joe says, well, could you get, because she felt so bad, it didn't have a blade. She says, I can give you a 10% off of that. And so we said, we'll take it. So she got that for us and everything. The best part is yet to come. We went to checkout. We had all our 20 bags of concrete. It's a lot of weight, 80 pounds a bag. She brings the saw, and they ring it up. It rings up at $343. Now, I don't know. They forgot to update the tag. I have no idea. But $343. And we got 10% off of that. So we got the saw for $309. Now, the Lord says to me, He puts it all in perspective. He says, see, the Lord just rewarded you, Mark, for being patient. Wow. See, we watch for God doing stuff for us, or would you kind of go to the store and say, wow, this is a great deal. What a coincidence that I was here today. Oh, the Lord does that stuff all the time. We should have wonderful faith in Him because He never lets us down. And if He's putting us off, there's a good reason for it. You know? There's a good reason for it. By faith, Enoch walked with God and then he disappeared. God just said, you're so good to have with me, I'm going to take you home with me. Wow. Do you have that kind of faith? Do you walk with God every day? It's great to be here. I really look at that story and I have, do I have to walk with God? I mean, do I ever get that feeling what it's got to be like to walk with God? I hope I can say, yeah, sometimes I've really felt like I was walking with God, but there's lots of times where I feel like I've been walking ahead or walking behind, you know? Dylan, one day when we were visiting my mom and dad and my brother in South Carolina, Dylan said, let's go for a walk. And so I was going for a walk with Dylan. And I called out to Dylan. I said, Dylan, walking with you is like walking with Mom. Because he was way out there in front of me. That's not walking with him. Okay, and then he slowed down very nicely and we stayed together and we talked and all those things, you know. But that's what I feel like sometimes when I'm walking with God and either I got distracted and I'm way behind him or I'm going my own thing, doing my own thing and I'm way in front of him. I'm not walking with him. There's those cool times where you know he's right there. You can feel it. Come to another important thing here in verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can do all the things you want for him, but if you don't really have faith in him, about him, you can't please him. He wants you to have your faith in him, not in what you can do. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God, first of all, he must believe that he is. Now, that's a good thing to believe, but Satan believes God is too. There's more to it than that. the part that Satan doesn't believe is that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He rewards you for following after Him. And I guess, if I understand the word right, they call it a Hebrewism or something like that, that diligently seek Him, the Hebrews used that, the Israelites used that as a word for worship. They used that for worship, for those who really work at worshiping Him. It's not a casual thing. They have to work at it. They want to work at it. It's a little sidelight. There's, you know, the difference between the Israelites and us now. The Israelites, if you look at their work week, they worked all week, and then they worshiped at the end of the week. Now, God changed that for us. We worship, unless you have a strange calendar like I do. My planner starts on Monday and ends on Saturday and Sunday. But we call this the weekend, don't we? But this is the week beginning. Right? I mean, the calendar back there is right. This is the first day of the week when the disciples gathered together to break bread and all those cool things. And our week is different. We start with worship, and then we serve Him all week. What's the difference? And it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. So here, as we look at these verses now, we see these men that did these great acts of faith. They believed God was a rewarder of them too. They knew they believed that if they diligently sought after Him, if they worshipped Him, if they did what He told them to do, He would reward them. Noah. He was warned of things not seen. He had faith that God was going to do what He said. Do you know how long Noah was building the ark? 100 years. 100 years. I mean, I would have given up a long time. I mean, come on. 100 years at one job? This would be terrible. You know? He was working at it for 100 years. And I'm sure every day, at least once a week, whatever, people would come by and laugh at him. Like, what are you building this boat in the middle of the land for? And Noah would say, God said He's going to send the flood. It's going to rain. And they're saying, what? It's raining. It's never done that before. I mean, we have no idea, Noah, what you're talking about. You are a fruitcake. And then the animals come. Now they think He's really strange. He's got all these different animals. He's putting them on the ark. It's still not raining. I mean, we still haven't had a good cloudburst in our whole lifetime. But Noah believed God. And God rewarded him, didn't He? Put him in the ark with the animals, and He saved him. And Noah started things all over again. What was his testimony? That he pleased God. God picked him to keep mankind going. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place. He lived in Ur. Then he went to Haran. One of those places, I guess, if you check back, they even had some semblance of indoor plumbing. Well, pretty sure Ur did and things. You know, they had indoor plumbing. And then he went and he lived in a tent the rest of his life. Now, I don't mind living in a tent, but tents have their drawbacks. You know, first of all, there isn't any indoor plumbing because you're kind of, so only a pseudo indoors, you know, type thing. And two, have you ever stayed in a tent? You get up in the morning, what does everything is damp. It's a tent. Now, it might be a little more dry there because it's arid, but I think it's got to do the same thing. You know, you get up in the morning, everything's damp. And it dries out during the day, you know. Plus, you got to pack this thing up every time you move. And Abraham had lots of stuff. He lived in a tent the whole rest of his life. Because God said, Abraham, I want you to leave here and go up to a place I'm going to show you. He didn't even know where he was going. He couldn't map it out on AAA or MapQuest or anything. He had no idea. Are you willing to do that? I've come to the point in my life, and maybe some of you get there earlier, but when I got moved to Iroquois, when God called me there and everything, it was like things in my life finally made sense. And it would take a whole lot longer to tell you all about it. But, you know, all the things that I had done in my life, all the jobs I had had, all the bosses I had, all those things that had happened were working to that point where I would be at Iroquois. I had no idea. I didn't even know. Well, I think I knew that there was an Iroquois, but and it was 6 hours away, 5 hours away from where I lived, you know. And there was this other really great camp by Lowly that was only 90 minutes away. Why would I, you know? But when I look at it, I can tell you that was the Lord brought me there. I felt like Abraham, you know. I had no idea where I was going, but when I got there, I knew I was there. Wow, this is cool. And the Lord's doing that in your life, I'm positive. You might not be there yet, but we need to have faith that He knows what He's doing. He's taken us where we need to go. Abraham went a few places that God didn't have for him to go. He did things, he screwed things up, he lied, he cheated, you know, and all those things. And yet the Lord still blessed him. The Lord still got him to where he was going. And the Lord will do that in our lives. By faith, Sarah. She had a baby when she was too old. And Abraham was too old too. I love the story of Sarah. I mean, first of all, it's kind of fascinating to me. Sarah was 90. Abraham was 100. Sarah was still good-looking enough at 90 that the king of Egypt took her to be a wife because Abraham was afraid something bad would happen to him if he said that Sarah was his wife. The king might kill her and take her anyway. You know? She... Oh, I mean, I'm sure you're all seeing her. Which I hope I look that good at 90. You know? She had a baby. Now, when God came and told her that she was going to have a baby, she laughed. Yeah, right. But when you read here, it says she bore a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. She got over the laugh. You know? She really did believe. I mean, that would be my first impression. My first thing would be to laugh. I mean, you've got to be kidding me. You know, I mean, if God came now and told me I'm going to have two more kids or another kid or something, I'd laugh. Yeah, right. You know, I'd probably get over it because I've seen God do some pretty amazing things. You know, I mean, and just look at the stories we talked about today. He said, wind, stop. And it stopped. Waves, stop. Waves should keep going for a while. I mean, just the motion keeps them going and they stop. Our God can do anything. He can even overlook when we laugh and say, oh, yeah, right. Can you imagine how that, I mean, he's got to be there saying, yeah, right. You know, I'm going to do it. And pretty soon you're convinced. You're convinced. What's your faith like? You can read in this chapter all these people. And if you look at them, you'll see, it even usually points it out. How many of these people, they were looking for something they couldn't see. They believed something was going to happen that they couldn't see. They believe God would reward them. We have the, it happens with groups. The children of Israel went to the Red Sea. The water parted and they crossed. Why did they cross? How did the water stay up? Well, God put it up. But they had faith. Shaky as it might be for some of them, they had faith and they walked through on dry land. Here comes Pharaoh and his army. If they did it, we can do it. But they don't have faith in God. What, they got into the middle and what happened? First of all, this is the part people forget, the wheels fell off the chariot. God didn't want them to get away. They had a flat tire right in the middle, and he let the water back. And they couldn't swim. At least not good enough. That's their faith. They had people of Israel had faith, and they went across. And can you imagine when you got to the other side and you saw what happened, what would your faith do? Wow, our God can do anything. A few weeks later, they're complaining and whining. We're not like that. We never do that, do we? That's why we need to be telling each other what great things the Lord has done. So we don't forget. God did many great things. Many great things. Moses, his parents hid him because he was a nice-looking child. That's what it says. He was pretty. Babies are all pretty, aren't they? I mean, if you're the mom, you think your baby is pretty. I've seen some babies that, you know, we could put their picture in the kitchen at Champs and keep the mice away, you know. Sorry. But it says his parents saw that he was a goodly child, or proper, means, but it does mean pretty. He was a nice-looking kid. And they hid him. They had faith that more things were going to happen than that. I don't know how they could see the picture. You know the story. His parents, when he got a little bit too big to keep at home and keep quiet anymore, they made a basket for him and put him in the river. And Pharaoh's daughter saw him. And how long did Pharaoh kill the firstborn, the boy children in Egypt? I don't think it was very long after his daughter brings home this baby and says, "Dad, isn't that Ethan? Isn't he cute?" I mean, that would really undermine your authority as a Pharaoh, you know? Your daughter wants to keep the babies that are in the river. Oh, no. But his parents had faith that God was going to do great things. And you see the story of Moses, and it talks about the things that he did. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He could have had riches galore. It was the most powerful nation on earth. And he said, "No thanks, because there's something better." His mom, his real mom, told him all about it while she was raising him, I'm sure. "There's something better." And he was convinced he was going to be the deliverer. And God put him off, right? You know the story. He killed the Egyptian, and then he had to run for his life. The rest of the people didn't understand and all those things. But God brings him back. He's going to be the leader now. And his response is, "I don't talk very good. You got to get somebody else. I'm afraid to get up in front of people." And the best part of that whole story is you read about the story of the children of Israel. And does Aaron ever address the people of Israel for Moses? I can't think of a single story where Aaron did the talking. Moses does it all anyway. That's the kind of faith he had. He believed something, there was something better. God was going to reward them. He was going to take them to the promised land. And all those things. What's our faith like? And do we tell each other about it? Hope I've encouraged you a little bit in your faith. It's a big thing. It's a great thing. And you're going to go to the middle of the week and you're going to need somebody to encourage you again. Call each other. "Do you know what the Lord did for me today?" That's what we did at camp for the summer. I could ask them at any time, any of the staff, "What did the Lord do for you today?" And they had to have an answer. That was last year. You approach the day a whole lot different. If you make a pact with each other and you say, "I can call you any time during the week and ask you what the Lord did for you today," you're going to go through your week a whole lot different. Because you're going to be watching. "I got to have something. If they call me today, I got to have something that the Lord did. And kept me from killing my kids today is only an answer good once." Okay? Okay? Or whatever it might be. We always got that. "He kept me from punching so-and-so," or whatever. You know, that's a good answer once. All right? But after that, you got to look for something different. Okay? He might have kept you from doing it every day this week, but you got to look for something different. Because there's tons of things. Well, let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we can put our faith and trust in him and that he's worth it all. That he does way above what we can ask or think, comprehend. Father, we thank you and help our faith to grow and help us to remain strong. That you wouldn't say to us, "Oh, you a little faith. Why did you doubt?" Father, we want to trust you. We want to believe you and help us because we know we're weak. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.